Amen. Today we're going to talk about a couple of issues. We're going to talk about issues. We're going to talk about sanctification in the church. We're going to talk about growth in the church. We're going to talk about what happens after the sinner's prayer. I know some of my Christian brethren who are watching know what I'm talking about. And from the non-believers that are watching, that's the prayer a sinner makes to convert his life to Christ. But we're going to talk about a few issues in that whole process. Amen. And then we're going to talk about pornography. So my saved and unsaved brothers know exactly what I'm talking about if I tell you pornography. We're going to tell you why it's a sin. And, yes, it's not in the Bible, but I'm still going to tell you why you're wrong. Amen? Let's start with scripture and then prayer, and then we're going to get right into the discussion. I'm reading this week from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, by which he was granted to us his precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these he may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yes, for this very cause, adding on to our part all diligence in our faith, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, and in knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, patience, and patience, godliness. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power you indwelled in us, O God, that we may be delivered and separated, O God, that the lust, O God, that's in our hearts has been removed, O God. We've been delivered from it that we might reign with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Paul, we're here. Today we're going to talk about sanctification. As we sit here and we speak about it, we know that the, what I'm going to call it, I'm going to call it the church tradition of the sinner's prayer. What about after the sinner's prayer? We both know, you know, we have to, at some, you know, in services, at end of service or sometime in the sermon, we have altar calls and we bring people down to accept Christ. But now, where does the doctrine of sanctification is in Scripture. I mean, well, it's in Scripture once you study Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But how do we get people there? What are we doing that we're not letting folks slip through our fingers? You know, we give them the sinner's prayer on Sunday, but then we don't. It seems like church doesn't require nothing of folk after that.
Well, I think the problem we face is a multifaceted problem. We have church after membership instead of discipleship.
Mm.
We're trying to
Amen.
Get people into the number instead of into the kingdom. I think when you hit a real sensitive point when you talk about that sinner's prayer, we're telling people to just say this and then go on. We're
mm-hmm.
Say this, now come, go with us. One that's been in the church since I was a little boy, you would get that sinner's prayer, but you would get a deacon, you'd get attached to a ward, and that deacon would have you in Sunday school and Bible study, and he would teach you the fundamentals of Christianity.
Amen.
That's old way is no way in the church today. Now it's just get them there, get your name, and I believe Baptist folks still do it, get your envelopes.
Mm.
Get your envelopes.
They print you out some envelope with your name on it.
With your name on them.
Oh, Lord.
For the whole 52
weeks. I didn't know
weeks.
That. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have a new issue. No, I'm sorry. Let's continue with this one issue.
But God's
Amen.
Glorified. Be glorified.
Amen. But you're right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I think the whole conversation comes to when we talk about these terms and sanctification. And justification, it's a discipling.
That's right.
And this is what I felt because, like you said, you said your background, you've been in church since you was little. I didn't come into the church till I was in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've seen it differently. I've seen it as, you know, you come down, you know, you hear a sermon, depending on what week you're there, even if there is a salvation sermon. Because sometimes we preach and stuff, well, you know, I have issues with that. That's whole something else. Because I hear
that's
more
part of sanctification.
What? Wait a minute. Getting a new car?
No, I said your issues are part of sanctification.
Okay. So I'm right on. I'm right.
You
on
target?
Right,
yes, sir.
Okay. I'm working my way through this.
Yes,
thing.
Sir.
All right. Amen. So, but you know, we it seems like okay. If a sermon of salvation, sermon, what the gospel is? I mean, I think the preaching of the gospel has took it on is new. It's not even really preaching of the gospel sometimes. It's, you know, I don't know. It all depends on the church you go to. You know, you might get it, you might not get it. But how do we expect people to give their life to something they don't know nothing about?
Well, I think we have to go back, as I was listening to you earlier today, there must be a willingness for us first. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then go back and talk to your brother,
yes.
Deal with your brother. When yours is fulfilled, we need a clear a picture of the old so we can bring it to the new. The
yes.
old worked. You know, you look at Heinz Corporation, DuPont, GM. These people have picked up something that's been around 100 years and work it. It's only the church that's trying to do it new and improved. When Jesus lifted up is all a person need to get into the kingdom.
Yes.
Then Jesus established in the kingdom in one's heart is how one stays in the kingdom one day at a time.
Amen.
And we've left that, as you said earlier, for prosperity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the book in 3 John, Jesus wrote down, listen, I wish that all things that your soul prosper and be in good health as you probably, in other words, your soulish realm
mm-hmm.
need to be taken care of. And I think that's where we've dropped the ball. We're more concerned about cars, and people want to hear more about Deacon Farr cars and
mm-hmm.
college tuition. They want to hear about suffering and Jesus made a way. But before he make a way, you have to go through something to
mm-hmm.
get to the way. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear
Amen.
That.
Amen. I mean, and then what you were saying about, because I'm glad you said, I'm glad you came, because the thing that you said about, then you was assigned to someone.
Yes,
we don't. I don't see that anymore.
No.
I don't see that. I see that, well, I'm not going to say I don't see it anymore. I haven't seen it lately,
mm-hmm.
because I've seen it in other churches where, you know, they do assign folk, and folk or you know, they give them responsibility to hold you accountable.
That's right.
But sometimes you don't see that in churches. Well, sometimes you have churches who don't have enough elders there to begin with. They're doing something where they're not maturing the folk they have to put them in a position where they can deal with people.
That's right.
That's another issue I have about titles.
Because
you can't carry a title and you're not worthy. If you can't minister to a person, I don't even see how you're serving them to carry these titles.
Well, I agree. My issue has been resolved. I believe this, Deacon, that if you're not birthed in your mother's womb to be a Levite, you're not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
God has already selected a group of people,
mm-hmm.
a raiment of people in the earth that are ordained in the womb to be leaders.
Okay.
They don't even know who they are until they come to God. Because
right.
they can't be a leader of God, so they give their life to God.
Right.
And when you see that person loves people. She's always encouraging people. They're not backbiting. Even in the world, because even though I was in the church wasn't in me when I was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There was some folk who we did drugs with, but they were always kind. We drunk their whiskey. They were always kind.
Mm-hmm.
We went to them strip clubs, things you talked about earlier, but they were always kind people.
Right.
Even though they were in the world, they were kind people.
Yes.
And that's something that's in you. And I think that most of us in the church that want to be leaders really don't have leadership qualities, or we
right.
haven't nurtured them
that's
so that
right.
we can lead people.
Amen. That's exactly what I think it is. That when people are being put in positions that they can't handle, they're not called to be there,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever that does, that affects the rest.
Yeah.
Because now you have no one to disciple folk. You have no one to talk to the babes to be able to minister.
That's right.
And like you said, and hold people accountable.
That's right.
But it seems like now the church contradicts itself, because if you talk accountability in the church, the first thing you're going to hear about is, don't judge me.
Right, don't judge
who
me.
Who are
Nobody's
you to judge
perfect.
Me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? And that seems to me that you're not really part of,
mm-hmm.
or you're not looking to be part of something. You know, because if I'm part of something, if I believe what you believe, and I'm trying to get to first of all, I have to understand that I'm trying to be more like Christ.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be more like Pastor Paul.
That's right.
Trying to be more like whoever. I'm trying to be more like Christ, and people in my life to help me be more like Christ. If we see, if I understood that as a baby Christian, then the sanctification thing would be something I could fall in with. But now people, you know, they remember a couple of scriptures, and they think they got it.
Yeah, well, you know, the issue, again, I'm glad it's called the issues, because the issue I have and the concern is that we don't take things to the end. You know, you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I urge you, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Paul is saying you got something to prove to the world. You got to show them you're different. Well, you can't do that if you won't give God what he wants. God wants your total being.
Yes.
He wants you to give your attitude for a new attitude. He don't want you to give up your life. He wants you to exchange your life. In other words, if you left this country and you went to the exchange counter, you want American money because you just come back from Mexico. Pesos don't work here. God saying, listen, in the kingdom, you don't work. I need God. I need the kingdom mind to work kingdom mind issues. And we need to start a process where we stick with one issue in the sense of with babes. Babes need to be trained. We need to take them from Matthew to Revelation, the New Testament. Yes. They don't need to know about the Old Testament yet because they're in Christ.
Yes.
And as they want to search on, they can do it. But if you focus like that, you need to know who Jesus is, who you are in Christ. And you stay there. We have our bishop, Bishop McCargo, does teach us, but we have a lot of churches that there's not a focus for, I would say, better to prevent arguments from your show and getting calls in, I would say from...
No, don't worry about that. I don't have that problem. That's where I prosper at.
Amen.
That's where I get my strength from persecution.
Let me just be naked. I think that if we were just focused on having our ministries or churches to truly target raising men and women of God instead of just growing churches for television broadcast and having a mega anything, because it becomes a mega mess when 6,000 people there, but only 200 of them really are working and doing all the work. You know, Bishop Walter Thomas said one time in a conference, he said, look at your Bible study. That's your church.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, you want to know your church?
I've heard that. Yeah.
Look at your Bible study. That's your church.
That's the church.
Your church is not those folk on Sunday. Your church is those folk that's at intercessory prayer, those folk that your Bible study. And we could transition that to growing if we start doing what you just said. Give people, be accountable. Have people accountable. We need accountability. You know, as a young pastor, I made a lot of mistakes, but I had pastors, not bishops and other title folk, but just pastor friends that would call me and say, hey, man, what's going on with you?
Right.
I heard one of your tapes, man. I didn't like the way you were sounding. You were browbeating the people. Reverend, you can't do that. Accountability, you know, where are you at? How's your marriage? How's your kids?
Yes.
We don't do that no more. That's minding people business down in the church.
Yes, it is. And this is what I said, and that's my whole thing with the church, because, you know, I believe, because the first church I was in, we were there. I mean, we were there. There was, I'm not going to say everyone, but there was a group of folk there that we knew about each other's. We knew each other, and we knew about each other.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's what the church needs. The church is not representing that to the world, because folk feel they can come into church, and it ain't no big deal. And feel like it's joining. To me, joining a local ministry, that's like a decision, almost like who you're going to marry.
Yeah.
Because these are the folk you want to tie, spiritually be tied to. And these are the folk when something's wrong, you're ready to run. You're ready to run and defend and help them. And hopefully they're ready to come to your aid when time of trouble.
You're right.
But we make church now, you know, we make church membership is so nonchalant. And I think, and then, you know, it comes back. I don't like picking on pastors a lot, but then pastors let some of this stuff allow.
Well, no, you
because you know a person. I'm sorry. I mean,
no, you're right
off.
Though. You're right. Uh-huh. I won't say you're right, brother. I ain't picking on them.
Oh, okay.
The truth will make us all free.
Because if a person comes to you, there should be some kind of, I won't say background. I'll ask you a question. Because if you came from another church, why'd you leave there? You know, that's some of the things. You know, why'd you leave? Was there something going on? Did the church, you know, whatever.
Well, Dick, I got one better than that. As a pastor, I require you to have a letter from your church. You're not joining up with me because, see, I don't want no bastard children, and I don't want no Willocks and witches coming up in here. So I need you. You are under man of God. You served under that man of God.
Right.
It's no different with your job. When you leave that job,
that's right.
As long as you left on good terms, hello somebody, and they will refer you. And I'm not looking for your past. I just need to know that you were a member. I don't need to know that you cheated on your wife. I don't need to know none of that. I don't need to know that you were alcoholic. I need to know that you were a member of the church in good standing. That means you came to church, you participate in the services. All the other issues, we all got some.
We got
but
some.
I need to have some reference point that you were a part of something. Because if not, how am I going to transition you into something and I don't know who you are?
Right. But no, then you're a babe then. And when that goes back to the process of accountability and sanctification. If I mean, you know, just to know who folk is. I mean, it's just sometimes the church is, my biggest thing is not so much about knowing people's business, it's about the church. I said this previously on another show. We're letting so many people slip through our fingers right into hell. Because they come through our doors, they walk through our gates, and we're not giving them God.
Mm-mm.
We're not giving them Christ. We're not giving them a new way. We're giving them a bunch of other stuff that's still going to end them up in hell.
Yeah.
And then my question is God going to hold us accountable?
Absolutely.
From the pastor down to the deacon board, down to everybody, the people that we let came through our door, did we really give them a true Christ to live up to? Or did we give them the cotton candy, you know, cotton candy God, and they still going to hell because they don't know nothing? We haven't taught them anything. We haven't developed them. We haven't tried to shape them in the image of God. We haven't let them mature who God had plans for them to be, but we let them slip through our fingers.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's why you'll see in our area here, the Maryland, Virginia area, you'll find a successful ministry with new membership classes.
Mm-hmm.
New membership classes should be anywhere from 90 days to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what the church is about, what the church believes,
mm-hmm.
and then we need to be able to find out what it is that you need from the church.
Right.
Because though you're in this ministry, we're in a very prophetic ministry, but everybody don't need a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just need encouragement.
Yes.
Some people just need instruction. Some
right.
people need, as your last guest, Brother Carvel, said, some people just need an example. They don't need you to preach them nothing. They need you to see that man love his wife. They need you
Amen.
To see that man open the door. They need you to see that that woman is the first thing. His eyes don't wander every time he come to church looking at everything moving.
Oh,
his eyes is focused.
Yes.
You see? And so when they see that example, that's what they need. You and I, as we sit here, we think deep and hard about these issues. The remedy, I believe, Deacon, the remedy is you have to establish standards of teaching inside the church, and you can't let any person, whether they come with a degree, a title or not, be exempt from that a process of learning
right.
God. And I think all people need to do new members, whether you're a pastor, bishop, because if you here and you're not into your own church, something happened.
Exactly.
That's why you here. So if you here, we want to start you all over. And guess what?
Right.
If you got God, humility will take you through it. You don't have a problem looking
exactly.
and listening because you want to get it right.
Because and also that to me is a process too. Because if you come from somewhere, you don't want to be thrown right into the battle.
That's right. That's right.
You want to be even in the military. If you were prior military service, you still have to go through some more basic training.
That's right.
Because we want to get you back up to speed. We don't want to throw you straight in the battle just because you've been here before.
That's right.
And then you might need a rest.
Amen.
But nobody don't know you, that you could have been through a spiritual battle the last place you were. You were a deacon, head deacon, whatever, or minister in charge of the men and the women, and now I just need a break.
Yeah.
I need to be minister.
That's right.
I need God. I need God, because even Jesus needed it.
That's
he
right.
was 40 days in the wilderness, and he got ministered to after his battle.
That's right. That's right.
After he stood for Satan, then he got ministered to.
That's right.
And that's what I think some folk too need, if they happen to change the church, just relax and minister.
That's right. That's right.
Just relax and be ministered to. So, you know, well, in the sanctification, we you know, that's, like I said, that there's so many different aspects to try and solve it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that, so, you know, someone listening here will hear what we're saying and hear that. You know, just, you know, and let it click. Because, again, it's back to the souls that we're just letting people slip through with sin of prayer, and we're sending them out in the world like that's like they're saved now.
Yeah.
Their eternal destiny is set because of a prayer that, you know,
well,
that's become tradition.
It is tradition, but I would say, Deacon, on that point, sanctification, get to it, every listener, get to a Bible-believing church.
Mm-hmm.
If your pastor's not one that opened that book, You pray for him to open that book. Don't leave, because a lot of times we get frustrated because things aren't happening. I believe the most powerful tool in the world outside the word of God is us praying his word back to God, saying, Lord, listen, you know what we stand in need of. Yes. Our man of God ain't there yet. Help us to help him. Because oftentimes we're frustrated because ministry's not moving in the time we think it should move. But we got a weapon. And that weapon is prayer through the word. Amen. And we can do that. But I agree with you, man. Sanctification, the process. We need the leaders of these churches, myself included, yourself included, to be prepared to hold people accountable. If it ain't but just, if we just start with the guests on your show, if we just start with us, we at the same local church, we hold each other accountable.
Yes.
Because men need men. Iron sharpens iron. A woman can't help us in the area we're talking about sanctification. We can't. I'm not married. You married. So we have different issues. We have different struggles.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about some of them.
Yeah, that's a future show. That's why we got shows to go on for years. No. But now, okay, but in that, let's make a quick transition, because I wanted to talk about pornography. That is in the church, that this is something that, you know, it's from the pulpit to the back row to the last person who came in the church to the person who's been in the church 30 years. This pornography issue is throughout. It's throughout the culture. It's become almost acceptable in the culture now. Anytime pole dancing becomes an exercise for housewives, I got problems. You know what I'm saying? I got real issues when pole dancing is offered at the community college.
Yes, yes. They
so we in trouble and we need Jesus. Okay? So with the pornography issues, just it's rampant, and I don't think it's something that I encourage, you know, anyone watching here, pastors watching, or have your pastor turn to the show. This is something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed in your men's ministry. And I'm not even going to pick on men, because I was reading the statistics. I'm going to have it for my next show, but I don't have it with me, that it said like 20% of women have confessed as watching pornography or addicted to pornography on the Internet. Because the Internet can be dangerous. It's not of the devil now.
No, it is. No,
but it can be dangerous, like a tool. Yes. I can use a bat to play baseball. I can use the bat to break your skull.
Amen.
So that's how I see the Internet. But, you know, I was reading statistics, and it was called the Christian Post, and they were talking about women and men. It was like 50% of people who call themselves Christians have in the last 30 days viewed pornography online.
Oh, my God.
And I think it's just something that needs to be. We need to address it. It needs to be. It's like anything else we want to pray for. We need to face up to it, pray about it, and then let God do a work in it with the Holy Ghost. Because we have people in leadership in the churches. It's just they're being corrupted by it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Well, I would take Deacon. I've be one that have been delivered from pornography addiction, womanizing, and the host of other things that spirit puts on you. And so I speak from experience, not, I mean, the statistical data is good, but experience tells me it is, you left a door open, whether it was you in your past didn't deal with some issues in your sexuality, and you want to, we start this journey with pornography, at least as men, I believe, with trying to spice up the sexual relationship and the sexual encounter. And so you're peaking. And then you're peeking, now you're sneaking, and down you're sneaking, now you're staying, and now you're staying, now you're laying, now you're laying, now you're hooked. And you can't get out of it because it's enjoyable. It's you know, one of the therapists would say years ago when I was doing some counseling, he'd say, Pastor, when something is good and you like it, it's hard to stop. He said, tell a lady to leave chocolate ice cream alone. During that time when she likes chocolate, and she'll tell you, stay away from me because her body craves certain things and she enjoys it. He says, so anything enjoyable is hard to get rid of.
Yes.
And that's what the devil knows. Look at Eve. The Bible says the door she opened was her eyes. She looked on something that she shouldn't have looked at. God already told you, everything here is yours. Just stay away from that.
Just stay away from that.
And God is saying to men and women, your marriage is where this relationship with sexuality is supposed to be expressed. There is no other place.
Exactly.
And I think the church, in some regard, has stopped even talking about it. I mean, most preachers don't talk about sexuality. In our Bible study Wednesday night, I was telling people how you have to, as a pastor, if you're a true Levite, You have to be able to really have a way of bringing Abraham and Sarah's story in the sexual part, mm-hmm. because it's a need for us to talk about sex in the right way so right. that we can prevent going into sex in the wrong way. Exactly. But if you don't talk about it from a biblical perspective, I mean, McCarville was talking, Song of Solomon says, let me kiss on your beautiful black breast. It's in the book.
It's in the book.
It's in the book. God ain't got nothing less spicy than what the devil trying to tell you, mm-hmm. but it's in the confines of marriage.
Yes.
And we have a problem because we won't talk about it.
Amen.
You know, we want to talk around it. You know, I would tell him, I mean, I think I preached about a year ago, you at church, and I said to the saints, I'm tired of folk telling me about marriage, and marriage in the church looked scary, looked
yes,
dead.
Does. Yeah, I remember that.
There's no expression of how you going when you were legal, you did it in the backseat of the car, steamed up the windows. But now it's legal, you won't even hold a girl hand in church. We in the presence of God. You don't kiss her. The leader don't kiss his wife. He don't hold a hand. But when it was illegal, you put your tongue all down her throat. Mm. You did all those kind of things yes. publicly at the mall. You hold hands, that's popped right. on the backside. Now it's legal. You don't even want to touch it. So we have this
right.
perverted view, I think, of sexual relationship now in marriage.
Right.
It looks dead to me. It looks, you know, I'm divorced
right.
now, but it makes you almost don't want to be married. If that's
Amen.
What it is,
that's what
stay
it
away
is.
From it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is what I'm saying. This is what the things that I'm saying, the issues that folk bring to the church where God has given a solution.
Yes, yes.
God has a way. He has a solution. He has a way to do it. And we've forsaken it
yeah.
to preach only certain parts of Scripture.
That's right.
Only certain parts of the Bible we want to preach. I haven't heard a sermon on the Song of Solomon in so long.
Whew, God.
I mean, I'm sorry.
No, you're As not.
I'm just saying.
You're right. You're right.
And so there's certain parts of the Bible that if you listen and you hear it, you hear them over and over. But then there's certain parts that you never hear people talk about. And these are the issues that I think that's the little foxes that's eating up and destroying the vine, the root of the church. Because the enemy says, you know what? I got a foothold. I'm just holding my cards.
That's right. That's right.
Because as soon as they try and get some kind of breakthrough or revelation, I'm gonna throw the sex card out there mm-hmm. and see what happens and runs through this church. If it ain't teenage pregnancy, if it ain't the single sisters popping up pregnant, mm-hmm. if it ain't affair, adultery, something, you know, or molestation, something. I got that card because you don't talk about it.
That's right.
You don't talk about what God says about it. We're not teaching the people. We're not teaching deliverance and the Holy Spirit that'll keep you.
That's right.
Because we're not animals and we're not dogs in heat.
That's right.
Because, you know, a dog in heat is out of control.
Bro, he can't do nothing.
Dog in heat, you got to either tie him up, do something with him, throw some cold water.
Board on him or get her away from
him. Leash him to the pole or get away from him.
Yes,
but,
sir.
But that's not who God
made us. No, sir.
So that is, again, that self-control, deliverance. And the Holy Ghost within us to keep it in the defines of marriage. And then for our married folk, I don't know how, like you said, how your marriage got bored. All that work you put in, and now 20 years later you bored?
It's
what
like
you been doing for 20 years?
It's like that movie, what does it say, Friendship with Benefits or something.
Oh, Lord, don't get me started.
It's not even a marital relationship. But I would say this, Deacon, the Bible says in Joshua, I believe it's the seventh chapter, it says sanctify yourself.
Yes.
And sanctify the people. You have a curse there among you. I think leaders in that, some of us have come to this place and we read it. But a lot of leaders are trapped in what you just talked about, pornography, mm-hmm. Sexual misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the community of the church, you're not preaching about something you're struggling with. It's like it's just, and it doesn't make sense because that's the only way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get out is talk. The devil job, as I end here, the devil job is to keep you from exposing your sin
mm-hmm.
so he can keep you bound in sin.
Yes.
Because once you expose it, he ain't got no power.
Amen.
The whole thing about lying is so nobody don't find out what you did. But once you tell the truth, you free.
I'm done.
And the Bible said who the Son set free is free indeed. So if I confess my sins,
yes.
God is just. He going to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, which means I'm going to walk up right now today.
Yes.
That don't mean my life is better 100%, mm-hmm. but it means from that situation, I'm free.
I'm free.
I ain't never got to go back to it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, thank you for coming.
Deacon, thanks
for
having me, man.
Us.
Anytime.
I want you to come back because we're not done with this.
Amen.
My audience, I invite you. I mean, we're going to do some more shows on pornography because there's so much going on. I'm not going to let it go yet until we get that stripper pole class out of the Anne Arundel Community College.
We getting it out.
We got to get rid of the stripper pole class. That don't make no sense to me. That's not exercise. No, just kidding. Anyway, we'd like to invite pastors, men ministry leaders, deacons. If you're watching this show, we'd like to invite you to come down, bring your thought, bring your opinion, bring your solution to the discussion, to the table. You can reach us at rejoicetv@gmail.com or give me a call at 443-591-3504 and come and join us because we're going to stay on this pornography issue for a couple more weeks. Just talk about it, bringing some light to it.
Amen.
And see if we can change some things that's going on around here. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Good day. Let's start off with sanctification. We hear that a lot. We hear about being sanctified by the word, being taught, being the process of sanctification. So let's start. I'm going to start with you because we know that, you know, we're in church services. We know we have the altar call, usually the end or somewhere within the service. We have the altar call. But now let's talk about what do you think the sanctification process, what does it look like? Where does it start? And how is it, you know, how do we get there?
Well, I think the sanctification process starts once we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior.
Uh-huh.
I believe that there has to be a follow-up of teaching. We have to first come to understand what sanctification is. Uh-huh. We have to understand that sanctification is being set apart for God's use. We also have to understand that sanctification is becoming less like self and more like Christ.
Uh-huh.
Paul said in Romans chapter 6, he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then in verse 2, he says, "God forbid." A lot of times after we accept Christ, we go right back out and do the same thing.
Mm. That's exactly my issue. That's
we
my
go
thing.
Right back out and do the same thing. And Scripture says the people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So after they accept Christ, some knowledge, some wisdom from mm-hmm. God's word have to be taught to them.
Amen. So that's what I'm saying. When we look at this, when we hear the doctrine of sanctification. But what we're seeing in the churches a lot of times is, you know, we see the altar call, the salvation prayer, or the, what's it called? That's what it's called, prayer of salvation, or the sinner's prayer. That's what I'm looking for. We have the sinner's prayer, and then we have folk that'll jump up and down and testify that somebody's saved no matter what they continue to do after that point. You know, we want to say, oh, that brother's saved now. He's good to go. But if the rest of his life after that, if nothing's conforming to God, this is where I think we give a false impression of what it means to be saved when we're teaching babes and when we're teaching folk to the maturity in Christ, how they need to grow in Christ. Because, you know, I recently had talked to a brother about the process of sanctification, and his thing was to me was, well, show me in the Bible where there's a process. You know? He said, show me where in Scripture, what does that mean? And that, and right there, I let him go because, first of all, I was at work, and I didn't want to go into a whole sermon on him. But, you know, I think that's something that some of the issues that we have because we have people who just, they keep on doing the same stuff after that sinner's prayer thing. And I don't see how we got to get, is it the church needs to have more discipling tools in place? Or are we wrong to tell folk that now they're okay. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You're okay.
Well, first of all, I believe with all my heart that it is wrong for us to tell people that they're okay after they accept Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
Because they're not all right. That's the beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I believe is that we have to take the excuse out of process because a lot of people use process as an excuse of why they can't do what they should be doing. Oh, I'm quite sure you heard it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. I know uh-huh. you ain't perfect.
Right.
This is a process. But I've come to realize that process develops daily, mm-hmm. not in a day. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. Just like we get up and put our clothes on every morning, it's the same process. And we have to put Christ on the same way, mm-hmm. daily, in our prayer life, in our personal time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people that, quote, unquote, claim to have a relationship with God have to help others to build a relationship with God, and not through the excuse of it's a process, I'm trying.
Yeah, because you get a lot of that. You know, you get to, you know, to me, I have issues. So my most famous guy, right now, the most famous person who uses this word is Steve Harvey. Because, I mean, Steve Harvey, he was raunchy, okay? Back in the day, when he first started telling comedy, before he got there. But now he's come to Christ, but then now the more you listen to him, the more he talks about, you know, God ain't done with me yet. That's his most famous thing now. Right. Because apparently to me, he's back to doing what he was doing because he's back on tour. That Christian comedy stuff didn't work out for him, but one tour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just the reality of it, that, you know, and then but my problem is, he's been lifted up there because they had him doing, didn't they have him doing the Stellars and
exactly,
and they have him doing all these things, but now his life is like, hey, look at your life. So you're going to tell me, you know, you still save, love God, but look at what you're doing. And then we see that on other levels of just men, just ordinary men walking around trying to be saved, folk in the church, you know, trying to work that thing out for themselves, and they thinking it's all okay.
Well, I think the church has a responsibility,
mm-hmm.
To help people, especially the leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility to help others to grow in Christ. Someone last year was talking about, actually a pastor that I know was talking about walking in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to walk in truth, you just can't teach what the truth of the word is. You really have to walk it out before men.
Yes.
You are going to go through your struggles. You're going to go through your trials. David said in Psalms 119 and 71, I believe, he said, it was good that I was afflicted because my afflictions strengthened me.
Yes.
I learned some things through my time of afflictions. And that's where we are when it comes to walking this sanctification process out. We grow through the sanctification.
Mm-hmm. So tell me this, bro. What do you see it as? Let's put some, because I like to come here. I like to give solutions. What do we look at the sanctification? What would you see that process as being? What are some of the things that we should see in a person's life who wholeheartedly, they, you know, we did the center prayer thing, we came down. Now, what should their life start looking like?
I believe that their lifestyle should be, first of all, cutting out some of their past activity,
mm-hmm.
before they accepted Christ,
right.
into their life. And sometimes that's hard because you have to separate from people, places, and things.
Yes, yes.
You have to separate from people, places, and things. And as you grow in Christ, that becomes a challenge in itself, because mm-hmm. We don't want to stop doing the things that we've been so accustomed to doing, going to the club. Okay, I accepted Christ today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go Friday night to the club no more. that's not Christ-like.
Well, then now, wait a minute now. See, this is exactly where we at when we. This is where I see where we at when we discipling men. When we say, okay, you know, you've given your life to Christ. You got up that whatever it was with the sin of prayer. So now, how do we? Because how you say it, if I'm doing something, how do I know it's wrong? You telling me going to the club is wrong, but I don't know that because that's what I'm coming out of.
Well, it's just like you said earlier, when you got into the conversation about the brother with show it to me from the word, mm-hmm. us as Christian men or mm-hmm. Christian people, period, mm-hmm. we do have to be prepared to
right.
show people from the word. So this is why we have to study the word mm-hmm. in order to help them. But a lot of times we can't help them because we don't know it ourselves.
There you go.
We're just telling them what somebody else said, you know.
Right,
but
right.
I've always been one that believes that the best example is one live, but I'm also one that likes to be able to take people to the word and show them what it mm-hmm. say. Not just say, oh, well, God said, mm-hmm. because you're going to be challenged when you say God said
yes.
or God's word said. And when somebody challenges you, you better be ready.
Yes.
And a lot of us are not ready. So this is why we can't defend what God says. This
Amen.
Is why we can't show them from the word what sanctification is.
Amen. Amen. That's where I do see the stumbling, that the church doesn't take the time to, you know, because, you know, we know I have issues. That's why I'm here. That's how we started the whole show, my issues. But, you know, I see it. But then I see it sometimes is we're letting people's lives slip through our fingers. Because we let people come through the church door, and we let them slip. They let them come in, and you know we let them slip back out. And somehow some of them leave. You know, they just leave and they just give up on church because of the things that happen. Or some of them we let them slip out as babes because nobody sat and talked to them. We kept talking to them about, you know, they give them a list of do's and don'ts mm-hmm. instead of teaching them how to live out the word. And I think that's where the church really has its weak link. That's what I think the weak connection link is. Because until they're filled with the Holy Ghost, which is a whole nother doctrine that I'm going to save that one for later, too.
Amen.
Because, you know, that's why the sin of prayer thing to me, put it this way. My thing was, the sin of prayer thing to me is the more I stayed in church and the more I read and studied, I found the sin of prayer, the whole sin of prayer scenario. It's just, I don't know, is it not biblical? Is it biblical? Is it just a custom that we came up with? And then, but then, if it became a custom, it's like Christmas to me. If it's going to be a custom, fine. But then we have to backfill on that thing. We have to, you know, we have to seek commitment and get involved in people's lives, because just that sin of prayer and then letting them do what they wanted and sending them back out in the world, I don't think we really have ministered or evangelized a soul.
And we haven't. And that's why it's so important for us to grab on to those who come into the house of the Lord. Not just those that come into the house of the Lord, but to those that cross our path on a daily basis.
Okay,
on our job, at the bus stop, at the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we grab a hold on to them. And I just gonna say, stop faking.
Amen.
You know, stop faking. You know, like we got it all together. You know, because the reality is we don't have it all together. And we give somebody our phone number and say, oh, give me a call. But then when that person calls, you don't even answer the phone.
Right. Right.
You
yeah,
know.
I mean, yeah,
you know, it's
I
a whole lot of things that we can do to really help others in this journey mm-hmm. with Christ. And we need to become more committed. We need to become more committed to Christ, first of all,
mm-hmm.
and then we need to become more committed to fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to become more committed in that area and more committed. Jesus said, you will be known as my disciples by the love you have one for another.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me you love me, but when I come to you, you can't help me because you don't have the time.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're right. I think that's where the church, I think, needs to reevaluate and needs to pray about. It's the whole discipleship programs on how we do it. Because, you know, like I said, the sanctification to me, it seems like to me it's a weak area that the church lets slip through. And because we expect people, because I've heard of people now, there's another side to this too, because I've heard people say they receive God to their lives and their whole life changed, you know, dramatically. It was a miracle. They dropped this. They didn't have the taste for this. They didn't have the heart to do the things they were used to doing. But then you have on the other side, you have people who have to learn to be discipled. So there's a level of discipleship that each man needs. And I don't think that we're feeding it from the weakest of those. Because this Bible says about the least of these. Mm-hmm. If we're working on the least person, the most weakest person in the Christ, it seems like the church is letting them just go. And then it reflects in our youth also. Because, you know, we have, you know, youth ministries that are doing everything but teaching the Word of God.
Well, you know, my wife, she always says this, and I'm really beginning to understand what she is saying now.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I didn't. But now I'm beginning to understand more because God is opening my eyes more to this revelation that comes from her. The church is looking too much like the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no differentiation between us and the world,
mm-hmm.
because we still do the same things that the world do,
mm-hmm.
In a whole lot of areas in our life.
Right.
Some of the same places we'll still go hang out where God brought us out from. Some of the same people that we're not trying to reach on a spiritual level, we'll still go and hang with them. And
right.
They're still having the same old conversations with us, and we are allowing them to still have the same conversations.
We're still feeding into it. We're still feeding into it.
We're not looking no different than the world.
Amen. That happens, I know, because, well, I don't know my thing is we got to remember it's individual walk, but also we should have a standard. There should be across the board standard for a person who calls themselves a Christian. Exactly. If they call themselves a follower of Christ, I think that's where the problem is, that the standard is so it moves up and down the scale on what's acceptable. I mean, it goes from, like you said, because to me it goes from the music to everything else that goes on that's happening in the world. And, you know, we see up here, like I said, the high-profile Christians, we see the stuff they're doing, they're mimicking the world, especially in the entertainment industry.
Exactly.
You know, and that is, if the media is not the most effective way to get into people's heads, and when they see us in the media, they see us doing the exact same thing the world is doing. So then what's the difference?
Exactly.
We don't look sanctified. We don't look holy. We're not reflecting the image of God. You know, we only want to talk about, you know, well, you know me in this show, I'm always on the blessing, breakthrough, and prosperity messages, because it, you know, we don't talk about no suffering. We don't talk about no martyrdom. We don't talk about the persecution of the saints. You know, you don't hear those kind of things. And I don't know where the church is going. At what point is where the church is going to figure out that we're missing the gospel and we're letting people's lives just slip through? So, like I was saying, I mean, I get off on a tangent, but then it's my show. But anyway, that's just some of the things that we're going to discuss on that sanctification, and then another subject that we covered this end of sanctification is pornography. That was a big thing with men. It's a big thing in society. Let me hold on 1 minute. I want to look up something real quick because I did some research on pornography, and it's mind-boggling that so much is going on with men in the church, men who confess to be in the church, that they were dealing with the that they're dealing with this issue. Like 50% of the men in the church have confessed to viewing pornography within the last 30 days. It's the internet. It's Playboy. It's all those things that we grew up with. Because personally, myself, I wasn't brought up in the church, so I could tell you Playboy and all these other magazines and stuff. But now it's like the men are on the internet and they're getting involved in all these things. And it seems like that's another thing that's inside the church that's eating it away. Uh-oh, yeah, I see you flipping, bro. What you got?
Some research I did, mm-hmm. on the internet about pornography. And over here in Psalms, Song of Psalms,
mm-hmm.
Song of Psalms, chapter 2, in verse 15, it says this: catch all the foxes. I'm reading from the New Living Translation Bible. It says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Now, I want to read this right here, if I may. It says, foxes sometimes in search of food, would enter into the grape orchards and devour the grapes and spoil the crop. However, the little foxes were too small to reach the grape bunches, so they would chew on the vines and it would kill the whole vine. Instead of the farmer just losing his crop, he would lose his vine, which was more disastrous. Spiritually, some things we do or allow that we might think are little or insignificant can also be disastrous for us. And when you think about pornography, it's really disastrous for us as men. I'm just going to take a peek. But that peek devours us as men of God, as Christians, period.
Yes.
It says, one of the most devastating problems that has ensnared many good people is the sin of pornography. Many of these same people will testify that they were ensnared with just a peek. This one little fox led to their downfall. Many, out of curiosity, just went to a site to see what was there. This is one of the devil's tricks to get people ensnared. Satan is the power behind this attraction to forbidden sexual images. People that are trapped today can tell you there is an evil drawing that compels them to return again and again. Many are desiring to be free, but seem hopelessly gripped by this evil desire. We want to share the good news. There is a way out through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop right there. When I read this, the lady that wrote this, her name is Betty Miller, and she talks about it in depth and how it traps us with just that little peek, out of curiosity or whatever, a desire that's not for being fulfilled at home, you know, for those of us that are married, you know, a desire for those that are not married but desire to be married, and they think all these freaky things in their head and what marriage is about. You know, she goes through this thing, you know, even talking about how marriages are destroyed through this thing called pornography, because husbands want wives to do things
right
that, you know, God did not intend.
Right. Well, you're right. I've seen articles also. I read an article that was in the Christian Post recently, and they talk about, you know, that there's two, and there's the M's of pornography. It's one, it's out there to make money, and two, masturbation. It's building a fantasy, like you were saying, but it's just building a fantasy of things that destroy human sexuality, really. Between, you know, the degrading of women and just the things that go on, it destroys, like, a marriage. We see it in marriages all the time, like you were saying, and it just seems like this is something that's like really an unspoken thing that's out there. It's not spoken, because now we see a lot of stuff coming to light in churches today with a lot of this stuff going on. We had the stuff going on in the Catholic Church now. It's crossing over into some of these major ministries. We're having these these sexual things. It's all, I think, it all starts, it started out with some kind of pornography where people, you know, have had problems dealing with it, had these secret issues, and then it starts affecting lives and ministries. I mean, this is why, you know, my thing is here on issues that we constantly encourage ministries to have men's churches, to have men's ministries. So there's a time when you can bring men together and discuss these issues that affect them. Because the way it's running rampant now through society, we can't ignore it and think it's not in the church. That men, you know, even men, because every man wasn't born, you know, born in the pulpit, born in the altar. I mean, not born in the altar, born in the pew. Amen. You have sinners. If you're calling in sinners, they're going to bring their sins with them.
Exactly.
And we have to deal with them. We can't teach prosperity, breakthrough, my money, a car. That's not the gospel, because we're not delivering nobody from nothing. And listen, I think this is one of the big things that we're bringing, because I can tell you right now, you go out here on between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, strip bars are full. Strip bars are full. Churches wish they had those many men in them, because they're still full today. If we talk about the internet pornography, that's a multi-billion dollar business just here in America.
You know,
so, go ahead.
As I was doing my research, I found that in 1997, the porn industry was a $12 billion a year industry.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 1997. This is 2011.
Yeah.
So you can just imagine what it's like now. And we have to really be educated on what porn really is. You know,
yes.
Porn has been out for a long time, even with underwear and bra commercials.
Well, hey, that was your first porn site.
That, you know, that
Sears,
that was
the Sears catalog.
Right. And, you know, this guy, there's a pastor that I know, he used to teach a class. I used to take a class with him. And he used to say, when he's watching his TV, if a commercial like that came on, he would turn his TV off. And I couldn't understand why he would turn the TV off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I grew more in the Lord, yeah, I began to understand, because he'd been teaching and pastoring for like 30 years. And I'm like, you ain't got a grip on that yet? You know, this is my thought, you know. Mm-hmm. But he knew, you know, what he was doing when he would turn that TV off.
Right.
And I think that, you know, we have to get to that point where we don't accept these kind of commercials and these type of advertisements.
Right. Well, now, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. If that was the case, I would never watch TV again.
Well.
Now you stepping on my word. Now you stepping on my foot. I can't watch TV now just because of this stuff. That's what you're telling me?
No, not that you don't have to watch TV.
Oh,
you just don't have to watch that.
Oh.
Yeah, you all just right. don't have to all watch right. that.